Welcome into the Husker 24/7 podcast. I'm Mike Schaefer, joined by Michael Brunts, Brian Christofferson. Gentlemen, how is it going for you as you continue to work from home? Is life harder without your coffee shops, your stops in at Starbucks, your I don't even know where Brunts works half the time, but I know BC's a big Starbucks guy. Have you guys adjusted to largely working inside your home?
Go ahead, Brunts. You field this one first.
It's okay. I grossly underestimated the amount of coffee that one person can drink in a week from home. Currently going through the I don't know what size it is, the Costco size bag. I'm holding my hands apart about a foot, that size bag. I'm going through about one of those a week. I think it's like 3 pounds. Is that right?
Are you the only coffee drinker in your house, or has your daughter gotten involved?
No, she's not yet. My wife does a little bit, but I'm doing the bulk of the coffee drinking. My wife has started shaming me around 4 o'clock every day when I'm on like my third pot of coffee, and she asks how much water I drank, and usually the answer is zero. So my kidneys are having the worst go of it out of anything from the coronavirus.
I can't say my routine's all that different. I've watched a lot of The Office, though.
To simulate having coworkers?
Yeah, I think so, a little bit. And it's kind of a happy show. It makes you, you know, the theme song kind of gets you, peps you up a little bit. In fact, Casino Night was just the episode I was on, you know, where Jim professes his love for Pam. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen next, but they left us hanging right as this podcast started.
All right. Well, we'll move this along so you can get back to the office and the coworkers you care about.
Yeah.
All right. The big news from last week, we didn't get to it in the podcast. It was at the end of the week. It was on Friday. Nebraska picked up its fourth commitment in the 2021 class. Linebacker Christopher Paul, an absolute bundle of energy, already quickly becoming one of my favorite interviews. Found out yesterday that his dog took the news really well when he let her know that he was going to Nebraska as opposed to sticking around close to home. So he was quite happy about that. The dog seemed to be okay with it. Things are good there. So Chris Paul is a good get for Nebraska. Again, an inside linebacker, 6'1", 220 pounds, wants to get a little bit heavier. Not sure he's going to grow a whole lot more, but a guy who really provides a punch when he hits, has great instincts. I mean, his film is really good. His production at the high school level was really good with 157 tackles and 4.5 sacks and all of that stuff. But the thing that I'm kind of most impressed by is it feels like, and I'll let you guys kind of decide whether this is a valuable thing or not, but it feels like Nebraska picked up a really vocal guy as part of its class and a guy who wants to sort of, you know, go on and be a leader. And he's not the same as Garrett Nelson, but he has a lot of those similar sort of belief in himself and just the will that he wants to help turn Nebraska back into what it was when his dad was growing up, when, you know, what Nebraska used to be relative to what Nebraska has been the last couple seasons. So I think that's always a good thing. I think it's really good when you have a vocal proponent of your class. And not to take anything away from Henry Lutovsky and Teddy Prochaska, who have certainly been putting in their effort, but it's always a little bit different because offensive line is such its own unit relative to, you know, when you get some of these vocal linebackers or some of the guys on the offensive side of the ball that are skill position players, it can really help out. So I think that the Christopher Paul get will be big for Nebraska for a variety of reasons. But I think he's certainly going to help them, at least in terms of peer recruiting or just putting Nebraska's name out there in a public relations sense.
Mike, I have some questions.
Yeah, go for it.
So he is an inside linebacker.
Yes.
Randolph Kapai is currently an inside linebacker, potentially an outside linebacker if he continues to grow. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think the thing with Randolph Kapai is I want to see where they end up with some other positions too. Like, I think he's capable that they would be fine with him at both. I think the preference is at inside linebacker. He continues to grow, which is expected, and he gets to 6'4", and he's 240, and they can play him on the edge. I think they would absolutely do that, but he's got a long way to go to get to that point.
So this is a commit from Georgia. You know, it always feels like whenever there's a poll from the state of Georgia, that there's kind of this trend type thing that emerges about, you know, is it a potential pipeline state, all this other stuff.
I think it already is.
Right. Where does Nebraska currently stand in Georgia based on what they've kind of done the last couple classes? And is Christopher Paul Jr. the kind of guy that can really help them down there? Because, it, you know, in some ways they you know, Miles Farmer wasn't a particularly, you know, loud guy during the recruiting process. I mean, it just seems like some of the guys that they pulled out of there recently Quentin Newsom have kind of been a little bit more low-key guys.
Ronald Tompkins, pretty much all of the guys they pulled out of that class kind of fit that low-key thing. Yeah, I think he can really help them. I mean, the difference with Chris Paul is that he's an out-state kind of guy. Everybody knows the Atlanta area. Nebraska has really made nice inroads, and they've got some other kids that they're recruiting inside that Atlanta, you know, region. But where he fits in is he is 2.5 hours south of that and 3 hours from Jacksonville. I mean, he's in just a different part of the state. And there's still a lot of talent down there. I mean, you got guys like Baron Hobson and Chauncey Magwood, two guys from Lee County that are already talking about taking a visit up to Nebraska. You have guys from Northern Florida that know Christopher Paul that are talking about taking a visit. So I just think that it's helpful to have a guy in that region who can just drum up sort of attention and excitement just because he's kind of an infectious personality. And so I think that's a really good thing. But I just think it's also good for Nebraska that they can recruit beyond just Atlanta, that they're now and sort of able to go into that rural area. They're going to have some more visits from there. They're going to have more visits from Atlanta as well. And they're just going to continue to bring in kids from the state of Georgia. It's clearly one of their favorite states to recruit in terms of where their connections line up and the talent that's in that state. And we'll see kind of what plays out of it. But I expect they'll get another kid or two from the state of Georgia beyond Christopher Paul.
So he's down in like pecan country.
Yeah, he is definitely in pecan country. That's a great way to put it.
All right.
You know, where there's the billboards every 3 miles or so.
Yep. Sorry, Brian, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just had to get that little plug for pecan country in there.
That was a good
from
plug.
From pecan to pecan. Sorry, Brian, I cut you off.
Everybody's cutting me off to talk about pecans or pecans.
We're not used to being able to see.
Can the people see us? I don't know that, because we're touching our face way too much.
No, I was just thinking that. I was just like sitting there going like with the hands up so I don't touch my face.
Every one of us is guilty of this. I keep seeing us touch our face. This is why we have to hold each other accountable.
This is why we can't be anywhere but our house.
Yeah, that's true. It looked like in reading this stuff that and you got some good stuff from Christopher Paul. It seemed like one of the big deals to him was that the coaches – I mean, I know coaches can find guys anywhere now, but he was outside of that Atlanta region, and he had that quote about how it was a big deal to him that Nebraska tracked him down where he was at and gave him the attention despite not being necessarily in this hotbed area. Where there's a ton of prospects. So I think that shows you Nebraska's hitting all of that area of Georgia really well. And again, Sean Becton's name pops up down there amid the – he was involved, correct, with that. And I can just – it's just such an advantage that you've got a couple coaches who have such ties to that state, because I do think that is a – underappreciated recruiting state sometimes when we talk about the big dogs like Florida and Texas. Georgia just has so much going on there. So I'm glad that they are utilizing that pipeline.
I'm pulling up the numbers right now, but I'm pretty sure if you were to look through offers in the 2021 class, Georgia is the fourth state.
Yeah.
Of what they've offered, and it's just behind California where they have 32. They have 31 offers in 2021 in the state of Georgia. Texas at 44, Florida at 53. Those are our numbers we got on the 24/7 site if you were to go to the Nebraska football offers. But I mean, the next closest state behind that is Illinois at 14, which is actually fairly high for Illinois, or at least as I seem to remember in terms of what we've seen Nebraska recruit that state. And so We can get into the numbers a little bit more on this, but I think that, again, I mentioned I expect they're going to get some other kids from Georgia. I wish I could tell you exactly who. We'll see. Chauncey Magwood's really interesting, given Nebraska's need for wide receivers. He's a heavier recruited guy than what his ranking is at. He's listed as a three-star wide receiver, but he's got a bunch of the SEC and the ACC charging after him. So we'll kind of see, you know, what goes there. And then I'm just kind of looking through the state of Georgia right now in terms of offers. Somebody on our message board mentioned Miles Campbell. I haven't talked to him, but he has mentioned Nebraska and some stories written in our network as a school that he's interested in. Bryson Estes is a kid out of Eagles Landing. If you remember, Nebraska really wanted the wide receiver Justin Robinson out of Eagles Landing, and they got Marquise Black from Eagles Landing. Bryson Estes told me that he was looking at a Nebraska visit in the spring as well at one point. We'll see if he's able to come up in the summer, if he's still kind of part of things. He'd be an interior guy. He's listed as a center, 6'3", 278, so we'll see kind of where things line up for him. But there's a lot of linebackers in the state of Georgia. I just think we're going to see, you know, Martez Thrower. We're going to see some of these names pop up for visits when they get that opportunity.
Has he gotten into where his nickname came from?
No. You know, every time I've given him the opportunity to be addressed as Poopall, he just says just to go back with Chris. So I haven't quite figured out what it is or why it exists, but that's something that I can work towards, because I'm sure I'll be talking with Christopher Paul a fair amount of time. One other thing I kind of want to mention, he is still very, very much set for that June 12th official visit. He's expecting there's going to be a good number of guys, a mixture of people that have already seen Nebraska and then guys like Chauncey Magwood or Baron Hobson that have yet to visit Nebraska that might be interested in making that their official visit weekend. And so, you know, from talking to Jalen Noel and A.J. Rollins as well, Colin Oliver, June 12th could be a very, very big visit weekend for Nebraska.
It sounds like you wrote about Jalen Noel the other day on our site, and there was a quote in there where he said that he's hearing from the Huskers like every day. It really sounds like, even though this is such a weird time, Nebraska recruiting has gone full force. From, is that what you're getting with the kid you talked to, Schaefer?
They're not like treating this like any sort of vacation. They're definitely, and here's the thing that makes it really important that they're active on this. These kids don't have school. They have nothing going on. And so if you're not active, you can bet whatever amount of money. I was going to say a word there that got me in trouble, I think, the last time I used it on this podcast. So I'm going to clean it up a little bit, but you can bet any amount of money that PJ Fleck staff and that Ohio State staff and all these other staffs are going to be as active as possible, because these guys just don't have anywhere to go. They're at home. They're on their phones. They're on their computers. You can get to them, you know, using Zoom or Skype or FaceTime or whatever, and you can visually see them. You can have a coach simply walk through his weight room in a conversation with a player and voila, he saw the weight room. You know, it's just, it's little things like that. And I would love to get into more of a conversation with Nebraska as to what they're doing digitally that's different than what they were doing before. But I know from some brief conversations I've had, they're definitely trying to think outside the box and come up with ideas, but also just streamline communication. There's, as important as it is to provide the video component or to do things different, it's still not more important than just having the simple conversation and building relationships. And one thing, on my radio show, I had Chris Paul on yesterday, and he said this. The thing that impressed him about Nebraska is that when they would call to talk to his mom, they wouldn't talk to his mom in such a way that they were trying to get to Chris. They actually just talked to his mom. They didn't ask about Chris. They asked how her day was going. They asked how her job was. They asked, you know, what was going on in her life and things that were important to her beyond her son. And he thought that that was really smart of him. And really valuable, because she didn't come out on the visit when his dad and he came out to Nebraska. She hasn't met this staff, but she's now had the opportunity to FaceTime with Coach Becton and to FaceTime with Coach Rude and talk to Scott Frost and have conversations of their own interests that have nothing to do with whether her son was going to go to Nebraska or not. He thought that was really important. We've heard before, and I know Brian knows this because I think he was part of the interview, but one of the things that Ryan Held has done incredibly well is he makes and builds strong relationships with parents and with family members that supersede the recruit. Like he's very, very good at building these quick relationships with mom and dad or grandpa and grandma or aunt and uncle or cousins or whoever, and just sort of inserts himself as a member of the family. Travis Fisher does that really well. I mean, these are the kind of things that we don't probably highlight enough in recruiting, but have really important effect on how a kid thinks about a program and how his family thinks about a program and the excitement level of getting a call from program A versus program B. A lot of it has to do with how the family feels about it. And I think that, you know, he explained that really well yesterday.
It feels like that even doubles or triples now too, in a time like this where it's so uncertain. And if you're a parent of a prospect, you know, you're hoping this thing clears up and we don't deal with stuff like this again, but you want to feel like that is a family or that is a home away from home where they're really in it for your kid. Like they're their parent. And so everything you're saying, I'm thinking about quadruple that with the current time we're in. And that's how important it is.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the numbers a little bit about linebackers specifically. I have some thoughts on that, and I want to get thoughts from Brian and Brunts as to what Nebraska might be doing in the 2021 class with linebackers. And then also we got some hoops talk. Nebraska basketball continues to knock on the door of every transfer in the transfer portal. I don't know. We'll let Brunts run down some of those guys that are names worth knowing here in a little bit. So join us on the other side.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. All right. So I mentioned I wanted to talk about linebacker numbers. How do you guys feel about the Huskers potentially taking five linebackers in this upcoming 2021 class? It'd be the biggest, I think, of any position group. But it could be kind of interesting where you have a mix and match of you either have three outside linebackers and two inside linebackers, two outside, three inside, or more likely you have two, and then someone like Randolph Kapai that could be the three either way. Do you guys think I'm on the right track with that, given what Nebraska has graduation-wise coming up out of each of those spots?
Yeah, I mean, I think it seems appropriate to me. You know, you look at the way that depth chart is, especially inside. You're losing Colin Miller after this year, Will Honus also leaving after this year. So that's, you know, two guys that have played a lot of snaps for you. You feel like you probably picked up essentially a scholarship guy who wasn't initially in Luke Reimer. You know, where does Jackson Hanna fit in? Nick Henrick has his injury history, I guess, that maybe gives you a little bit of pause there. So I think you got to do something to kind of replenish the ranks there a little bit. And, you know, they've tried to do that a little bit in the last couple classes, but – you know, I think you'd be smart to add more depth there, especially, you know, if Barrett Rood wants to get six guys into a rotation, you know, that they kind of have been playing with three the last couple of years. You know, at minimum would like four. So I think you have to kind of make this a little bit of a bigger class and in some ways kind of approach it a little bit like, like Greg Austin did with kind of reshaping that offensive line group a little bit, bringing guys in and bringing them along as a group. Now that you have Mike Dawson at outside linebacker coach too, I mean, I think you have to give him a chance to recruit and find his guys a little bit too. So five seems appropriate to me. If you're going to take a full class, I mean, why the heck not? I mean, that's the position to me that's, aside from wide receiver, that's most glaring and lacking depth is are both of those linebacker spots. So I think you have to.
Yeah, what are your proven commodities there? You could even include the seniors in that group, like Doman, Honus, and Miller, but they'll be gone once this class comes in. And then it's just open for anybody. So I say build up your numbers, and it's sort of like in the NFL draft when a team has like a lot of picks. And so you have more guys to go off of and more opportunities to have hits, you know. So I say that's definitely a position where I would stockpile numbers. One, for the position groups themselves, but secondly, that's a very common spot for guys who play special teams. And if you're serious about ramping up your special teams play, those are the type of guys with that build. Sorry, I get emotional talking about it. Those guys who are in that 215-pound range, those are your dudes you want running down covering kicks and stuff. That's perfect football size for that type of thing. So that's why it makes sense to me too.
Yeah, I think you made a really sort of underrated point that Nebraska's lack of linebacker depth, partly because of guys that they've more or less chased off, I guess, if you will, was the maybe unfriendly term for it, or asked to reconsider their options would be the more friendly term for it, left them with a real void of players to fill that gap. And then you kind of had everything they tried to do last year with the red shirts. I think you're definitely on to something in terms of what that could mean for special teams. So, I envision five linebackers. I don't know if it could get to six, but I'm still trying to figure out where their numbers are going to come at for that 2021 class. And there could still be a bunch of movement in terms of attrition still. So we don't know exactly where Nebraska's roster is going to end up, which will dictate what their 2021 numbers and all of that can be. All right, Brunts, what have you kind of been following a little bit with Nebraska basketball's efforts on the recruiting trail, mostly through the transfer portal?
They've been active. Know that much. Do I want to recap some names? I mean, the latest one, Alan Griffin, who was at Illinois for shooting guard there, 6'5", 180 pounds. He's the latest offer there, former member of the class of 2018. That this is kind of the norm for Nebraska, I think, where they're still looking for guard depth, they're looking for wings, and based on what's kind of happened, you know, the last few days with, you know, move guys potentially moving on or whatever, we haven't podcasted, I don't think, since Deshaun Burke formally announced that he is going to enter the transfer portal or is in the transfer portal now looking to move on. So you know, Nebraska has some spots to fill, and I know that everybody wants post depth, and I think that that's still a possibility with Adama Sinogo, the 2021 kid, who's likely going to reclassify to 2020. But Nebraska and more so Fred Hoiberg and Matt Abdelmassi have had good luck with the transfer portal in the past. They like guys that are sit out transfers too. If they can find a couple of those guys to kind of go through that process together, they would prefer to do that. So, you know, it makes sense to me. I think also the transfer portal with what's going on now is interesting because you have so many guys in there now. I don't think it's, you know, nearly as hot and heavy as it would have been normally, but you know, that it's guys that, you know, are able to look at a place like Nebraska, see opportunities, see the ability to get on the court and play for an NBA, former NBA head coach. I think it makes a lot of sense to do that. So, you know, we'll see how that shakes out. But, you know, without being able to do official visits, a lot of it is just kind of checking in with these guys, staying on them, and, you know, trying to see what you can do over the phone.
What do you think about Carter Witt not reclassifying to 2021? Do you think that's something maybe Nebraska even asked him to hold off on or something like that? Or do you anticipate he will be as big of a target in the next cycle? What kind of change does that have for Nebraska? Because they really, really like that kid when they were looking for a point guard.
Yeah, I mean, that he's a, you know, I don't think it was a surprise to anybody that he was going to reclassify the longer, or not reclassify, the longer that kind of dragged on, it seemed like, you know, he was likely going to stick with the 2021 class. He's going to have tons of options. I mean, it wasn't just the reclassification that was kind of driving that. He's a top 100 talent, a great scorer, great distributor. What's interesting is he's already taken 4 official visits. So Nebraska's firmly in the mix with, you know, Indiana, Virginia Tech. I think Boston College was his other official visit. Penn State was involved too. So when he kind of resets his recruitment a little bit, we'll see how that affects what his options are. But, you know, Nebraska absolutely would have taken him right now if he wanted to reclassify to 2020, but he decided to hold off. So, you know, for Nebraska, what does that mean going forward? I mean, maybe, you know, you get by with Kobe Webster running the point for you a little bit of Delano Banton at times. You know, Cam Mack's situation, you know, he basically has 3 options. You either come back to Nebraska, pull your name out of the draft, you stay in the draft, or, you know, you transfer somewhere else. And, you know, I don't know which way I would probably lean at this point. I if I were handicapping, it would say him coming back is probably the less likely of all of those 3 options. So Nebraska's going to have to find somebody that, if they can't completely take the point as kind of a just-in-case backup to Cam Mack, you know, maybe find somebody that can steal some minutes there for you as a, you know, a shooting guard or somebody like kind of what Deshaun Burke was a little bit for him, where he was running the point at times and Cam Mack wasn't in the game.
Do you, if you had the ability that any of these guys Nebraska was chasing, you could say, all right, they're going to get this guy, who do you think that would be? Like, who do you think could have, would be number one on the board sort of thing? Would it be the Virginia Tech kid because you have multiple years of eligibility? Is it the Quinnipiac, Kevin, what, Marford, something like that? The guy who's a forward, what? How would you do it given their current roster assembly?
Well, I mean, I think finding somebody with some size is important. You know, I think, you know, one guy that they've offered since he's been in the portal, Trey McGowans, who's a guard from Pitt, played a couple of years there. I think he's probably, you know, more along the lines of the sit out kind of transfer that they'd like to have. You know, maybe would allow them to get through this year with somebody like Webster or somebody else running the point. And then he's got 2 years coming back wherever he goes. That to me makes more sense. I mean, I think post wise, you know, the Sanogo to me is the most likely option from what they have out there. Because if you kind of look at Nebraska's roster right now, I mean, they aren't really lacking too much for depth in the post. I mean, you have Derek Walker, you have Ivan, Kevin Cross still, you know, is planning on coming back. So, you know, that they've got bodies there. But, you know, I think if you can find a, you know, a grad transfer type guy or a really talented guard that you can kind of sit out, I think that helps you a lot more. As somebody that you can kind of bring along at the point guard spot.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I appreciate – Brian, you have any thoughts? We just kind of ignored you the last 10 minutes.
That's all right. I was being educated, so that was fine. It was, sometimes it's good to just sit in silence and listen.
Such zen that just comes from – I mean, it's just – you're the –
there you go.
Wise old sage of this group, you know.
One other thing with Husker Hoops.
Wow, Brent says more.
You've got the reunion coming between Nebraska and Kansas State. Three-year series. First year coming up this year, or next season rather, at the Sprint Center in Kansas City. And then you have the matchup in Lincoln the following year, and then at K-State the year after that. So does that kind of get you guys a little excited? Get a little bit of purple in there that's not Northwestern? How do you feel about it?
I like it, but I also really like the Sprint Center. It, you know, one of my favorite things I got to cover as a student reporter was going to the Big 12 basketball tournament. It was unlike any event I had covered at that point in time, because when you're a student reporter like that, you're not used to just being able to sit court size, or you're just sitting in there in the workroom and there's Andy Katz. Like, it was just a really unique experience for me. Not that Andy Katz is that big of a deal, but I just remember being like, whoa, this is weird. Because, you know, you cover Nebraska basketball when they go 2-14 in the regular season, conference-wise, Andy Katz ain't coming to Lincoln to do a game. So it was a good experience. Nebraska knocked off, I want to say they beat either Texas A&M, or I think they beat Missouri in the first round, and then they lost to Texas A&M in the second round. But it was a fun experience. It's a great environment. I enjoyed going to the Sprint Center a couple years ago. When Nebraska played down there in that tournament. I think that place will do well. I think there'll be a lot of fans at this particular matchup. And I love the added on home and home. This is a really cool way to do a series. And I think, you know, if they can do this with Iowa State, that would be, especially with Hoiberg, that'd be fantastic.
You think Iowa State would even touch that? I wondered that too. Like, I was like, yeah, you know, former Big 12 foes that make a lot of sense. I mean, Iowa State makes sense, but I think Iowa State would want to maybe steer clear of that one.
I think Missouri, I think Oklahoma State, they've already done Oklahoma. You know, any of those Big 8 schools, just keep knocking them off. I don't know if Colorado-Nebraska basketball moves the needle much, but Colorado's a good team. Like, it's a good opportunity for Nebraska. You're right with Iowa State. They may hold off on bringing the mayor back to the house that he played in, but – it would be a great narrative. It would be a fun story, especially if Nebraska is actually winning games at that point.
Don't you think all those games should be scheduled for a Saturday afternoon, played at like either 12:40 or 3:10 p.m.
With the Phillips 66 pregame show.
Yeah. Studio 66 with Doug Bell.
With about 15 Whataburger commercials every hour.
Dave Armstrong on the call going, wow, when guys make plays. I would love a Nebraska-Colorado game that started at like 3:10. That was always when whenever Colorado played, they were always the late Saturday game on the Raycom double dip. So that was always fun.
I would take a home and home with Oklahoma State. I know they played up in South Dakota, but I wouldn't mind a trip down to Gallagher-Iba for old time's sake.
Has Oklahoma State changed their camera angle yet? Remember, they always had that funny angle where you're like, it felt like you're in the crowd somewhere in the middle of it, and you.
No, I think it's the same. I think you're still positioned in a very awkward. It's like watching.
You're looking down on it a little bit.
Right, like it's like anytime somebody plays football at Purdue, it's a little jarring.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, let's close this thing out. Be sure to check out Husker 24/7. We still got plenty of content up on the website. Should be another podcast coming later this week as well. We're going to get into Eric Shenander a little bit and what he had to say a few weeks ago when we had a chance to talk with the coaches, and where that leaves Nebraska's defense, which has gone from really bad to pretty bad to okay. Were they okay last year? That's a discussion we'll have on the next podcast. You can catch that more with Husker 24/7.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.